Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Six. Roll call, Director Amezcua, Director Bilodeau, Director Green, Director Meeks, Director Nguyen, Director Rowe, Director Sheldon, Director Tran,
Present.
Director Whitaker,
here.
Director Yeo. Okay, you currently do not have a quorum with only four directors. No hands.
Oh, thank you. No
hand.
Okay. Mr. General Manager, should we just start the informational items?
I think that would be appropriate, Madam President. Yes, we can start with the information item if you would like, item 22.
Sure.
I can read what item 22 is on. I know. So we do have an informational item this morning and this evening, late afternoon, whatever time it is in the world. And there you go, Singapore. We thought what we'd do is give an informational item showing what the status of our recharge area is right now. As the board knows, we have had quite a bit of rainfall. We've captured quite a bit of storm flow. And so we have our director of the Forbay Operations, Ben Smith, giving a presentation to the board this evening on the status of our recharge in the Forbay. Ben.
Thank you. Good evening. Yeah, we were talking about this picture. This is a sunset from December. Looking at the off river, the actual rivers across the levee to the left there, and one of our pieces of equipment buttoned up for the night. The board will probably remember where the surface recharge facilities are, right? They're in Anaheim and Orange, Villa Park area. It's all these bold colors are the areas we are actively managing. So you add up those areas, it's just shy of 1,100 wet acres, meaning the area that water would contact for recharge. Depending how you count up the basins, you could come up to 26 distinct basins. If you add up the storage of all those, it's 25,000 acre feet. In the Forbay, we are managing 11 miles of pipe. That does not include the GWS pipe coming up. And there's 11 pump stations. Most of them are for dewatering, for emptying a basin. The main one, Burris, we'll be talking about later, is for moving water from Burris Basin over to Santiago Basin in Orange. And there's four rubber dams, the two main ones in the river, to divert water out of the river. So rainfall, as we all know, it's very noteworthy, the current year's rainfall. Sorry, it's cut off all the way on the right, half a column there. But that's where we're at so far this year, 25.6 inches. Average there is just under 14. And you can see, you know, as we know, we're coming out of a sustained drought into a really, really wet year. So that's an annual number. Here's how it looks month to month over the past year. So the red line is the current year. You can see when during the year the rain fell. Blue is last year, and gray there is the average. So this is a chart that's published each month in the Water Resources Report, if you review that report. So what I've got here is my favorite graph. It's really complicated. I'm going to walk you through step by step. Try to tell a story here of the year with graph lines. So I've got revealed to you up to July last year. If the board remembers, that was the last update from me for this area was July. Some of the lines that are on here, this top blue line, this is brim full, all the basin storage brim full. So that 25,000 acre foot number there for reference. The dashed orange line here would be Prado Dam full to elevation 505, the water conservation limit there. So it's just under 20,000 acre feet. The dashed blue line is the Santiago Basin storage. It is the biggest facility we have. It is part of the top line. So we just, it's such a single important player. We have I have it highlighted individually. So those are reference lines. What I've got here in purple is the amount of water percolated in the year times 10. So to fit it on the same graph, we ended last year, all the surface water recharge was just shy of 200,000 acre feet, is what that purple line is showing. The bold blue line here is what we currently have in storage at this given time. So you can see, you know, last year we were coming out of a lower rain year, 6.9 inches last year. It came early in the season, so that the storage was pretty far down come July. The green line here is the rain that's on the right axis. So that's that 6.9 inch number. The light blue is the Santiago Basin storage. So it's part of the dark blue. So if you come up from the bottom, you'd have Santiago. In between the light blue and the dark blue would be the, all the other basins that we have for storage. The yellow here is imported Met water that we received. So we ordered Met water in April, and Met was having challenges in their delivery system at that time. They couldn't deliver it to us until June. So we were trying to avoid the capacity charge by ordering early. Met honored that, we honored our order, didn't charge us that capacity charge when they were able to deliver in June, when normally that fee would apply. And then the bottom line here is the storage at Prado, right? It's zero as we went from June last year. So let me jump to October, a little more of the chart. Not much excitement at that time. We spent the summer cleaning all the basins, doing some deferred maintenance because it did dry out early. We were able to tackle things that in a normal year we wouldn't have time to get to. So that all happened. You can see a little bit of rain came in the beginning of September, but basically pretty boring through that time, as normal, as expected. Starting in October is when the capacity charge drops off for the import water. So you'll see, as I reveal the next time period, the yellow line jumps off. We start taking as much import water as we can on that time because we're trying to get it all into the ground before it starts raining. We don't want it occupying storage that potentially free river water would take on. So we were taking 200 CFS at that time, very steep climb on that volume. You can see how the storage responded, right? It didn't jump as high. That's because it's percolating. Most of that water is percolating a little bit into storage. You see the purple line uptick, right? The rate of overall percolation goes up because we're now introducing the Met water. And Santiago continued to go down. We don't deliver Met water to Santiago. So right there, early November, we got our first rain, and you can see we've made a decision on the Met. We paused Met delivery for that rain event because we wanted to make sure we had the capacity available to capture the free water. So we paused Met when the storm is in the forecast. So then it rained right there, mid-November. That was 2.3 inches that produced at Prado 6,700 acre feet. So you see Prado shoots up. We start draining Prado down to our facilities and to percolate. A little bit went to Santiago Basin. If the board may be aware, there was an erosion concern at Santiago Basin due to a storm drain dropping out. So we were limited on what we could pump there. We slowed down the met take and because we now had a Prado pool that was a priority. Okay, then we went move into December. We had another little rainfall. You know, we bring it down into our storage facilities, our percolation. And then this is, I'm paused here at the end of the year. Christmas week, we started seeing the atmospheric rivers stacking up in the forecast. Like 3, 4, 5 atmospheric rivers were forecast to hit back to back. So we started to get really, you know, geared up to deal with that. We decided we're going to fill Santiago. We have all this water coming. So here you can see I paused 12 days later. You can see the response there. Prado filled all the way within 12 days to the water conservation limit. And you can see we're filling Santiago and all our other storages too. That was 4.4 inches in those 12 days of rain. Then another atmospheric river hit that day. You see a sharp spike up and down because the core, you know, their commitment is to hold us at our elevation. They're not committed to store more water for us than they have to. So it came in and they let it out right away. And so we drained the pool down to us. Through April, we got another over 11 inches. And you can see we ride that Prado conservation. And through today, we are draining it out. We think we're going to get to 498, elevation 498 by the end of the month. That relieves us of a commitment for a minimum discharge from Prado Dam. So this is, again, some of the same information, total percolation at the forebay. We're in the green line this year. Red and blue are the previous years. You can see we're way ahead. And we're probably continuing on that slope the rest of the year here. This chart shows what our relationship with Prado Dam provides. This is the amount of extra water we're able to capture and percolate because of our relationship with Prado Dam. So this year we're looking at 45,000 water conservation acre feet. In addition to that, we captured about 17,000 of local storm flow. That's water that comes into the river below Prado or comes into Santiago basins. Just for of interest, water that passed through Prado and made it to the ocean, about 127,000 acre feet this year. 14,000 again local that didn't pass through Prado but ended up going to the ocean through the river. So a lot of numbers here, a lot of text. These are the different basins, how full they are right now. The main takeaway here, we're basically 97% full. And the reason we're not 100% full is we need some operational flexibility, primarily in Burris Basin. We have that pump station that pumps out of the back end. That's on a time of use electricity plan. So when there's a hot day, if we don't turn off those pumps, we can incur a charge for 3 hours. That would be more than the whole month cost for pumping. So we keep a little bit of storage volume in there that we could turn that pump station on and off and not lose any water. The river's doing great. It's doing 120 CFS. Normally we consider it to do 100. So it's been doing really good. We have every facility wet right now. Everything we have has water in it. We are percolating like crazy. So I had some pictures. This is Santiago Basin back in July. Here it is today. It's a slightly different angle, but you can see how full the basin is. It is brim full. It is right there, ready to spill into the creek and head downstream. Here's Anaheim Lake. This was back in June when we were taking met water. You could see the nice aqua color. It's hard to see, but in the background, there's Miller and Kramer. They're empty. And here it is today. The water's a little darker because now it's river water in there. It's carrying some sediment with it. And you can see Kramer and Miller are full in the back. And this is just a nice shot of the Warner Lake, Conrock, Foster, Huckleberry. You can see the river on the right, the off river here in the middle. Everything wet. Field headquarters is right here on the right. So everything's full and being used to the max. So shifting gears a little bit, that's all about the recharge status, right? How much water we're dealing with. On the flip side of the equation, this graph is demand, water demand. So this is for the producers. It's their total water demand, their groundwater and their imported water in their fiscal years. You can see how it's gone up and down over the years. And for this current year, we're seeing a big drop there. And so there's kind of two reasons why. It's basically irrigation has been minimal this year. Partly because going into the year, there was a lot of public information about drought going on, like be smart with your water use. And then it rained a lot, right? So then you don't need to irrigate. So those double whammy on lower demand from the producers' customers. So if you sew these things together, right, we had a very wet year. We have a lot of water. We're getting it in the ground. And the other side of the equation, you're demanding, you're taking less water out of the ground. So what does that do to the overdraft? So all the way on the right in the red dashed line, you can see we're estimating the overdraft is going to come right up into our target, right where we want to be in this fiscal year. So with that, I can take any questions if there are any.
Any questions, comments? I'm not seeing. Did a great job, Ben. Thanks. Do you have a question?
Pardon. Those were indeed complicated graphs. But you did a great job navigating us through those. So a lot of information there. Thank you.
You're welcome. We get mixed feedback. A lot of people hate them. Some people love them.
Anybody else?
Doug Reinhart has his hand raised.
Okay. Doug?
Thank you, Chair. Just a question for you. For a while, we were spilling out of Irvine Lake, and you couldn't take it in the down below. Do you have any idea how much that must be in that 17,000, how much that water was?
Yeah, so at Santiago, it's about 10,000 acre feet of local. So that would have been what came from Irvine Lake through Villa Park, plus local storm drainage there.
So most of it was Irvine Lake, though.
Correct.
Thank you.
That it? Hey, thank you very much. Great report. Okay, shall we come back to our agenda? Do we have any items received too late to be agendized?
Yes, we do, Madam President. There is an item that's been brought to me by Director Sheldon pertaining to the need for an addition of a closed session pursuant to Government Code of Section 54956.9(d)(4), possible initiation of litigation. We only found out about this matter on Monday, and it is time critical for action. If the board chooses to do that, that action would need to be taken by June 5th, and our next board meeting not until June 7th. So there is it meets the criteria for an urgency item. Because there's only six board members present, we would need all six board members to vote yes to add this closed session. It pertains to a potential challenge to EPA action related to heavy duty diesel fleet pools. So we would need a motion to add the closed session item, and then we would need a unanimous vote of the board to add that item.
So moved.
And who's bringing this?
Director Whitaker motioned it. It came to my attention, and I shared that with our general counsel. So I'll second Director Whitaker's motion, but I brought this to the attention of staff.
Was there any reason you didn't bring this to me? Usually you bring it to the person that's going to chair the meeting.
Was yeah, I you know, I run at 100 miles an hour. If I did something that's not correct in the protocol, I apologize for it, and I can remedy that for future.
You have a motion?
You have a second.
Do you have a second?
Yeah, I primarily involved Jeremy because it was a legal issue and we've talked quite a bit. So I thought that he had communicated with you as well on this. So I thought that was being done. I thought that was taken care of.
He had talked to me some, but it completely changed. And because of that, I'm not in favor of this at all. It's totally different from what I first thought it was going to be.
Well, I think the intent is to bring it to the closed session. It is a pending litigation, so we just discussing it generally, but certainly generally enough to qualify it for the urgency. And then, you know, I think we'll get more information when we're in closed session. So I wouldn't rush to a conclusion yet. I would let that conversation occur in closed session, then we can make a decision.
And Director Sheldon, you moved to second. Are you?
Yes. Second? Yes.
So you got a motion in a
second. You mentioned the EPA, Jeremy, I believe you had. So, and it mentions the district's off-road heavy-duty vehicles. So, I mean, it certainly has a very high cost to district ratepayers and to the district. So, it's certainly of importance to the district to at least discuss.
But that's not what it's about.
It is. Well, I can provide. This is all public knowledge. I mean, this is all public record information. So, recently, the EPA approved the California Air Resources Board's request to provide a waiver. And California has to obtain a waiver if they're going to provide emission standards that are different than the rest of the country. So they have to go to EPA. There's a process for obtaining a waiver. EPA granted the waiver, and the waiver pertains to the California Air Resources Board's proposal to outlaw or to prohibit certain sales of diesel vehicles, heavy diesel vehicles by 2035. And so that is being considered by EPA, and we can get into the details in closed session, but that's the nature of it. And there may be other public agencies that may be participating, but there is a potential challenge to the EPA action to approve the waiver.
Okay.
I think it's consistent with board actions on this particular item, or consistent with AQUA's position. Maybe I could be wrong on that. I'm not an expert on the AQUA stuff, but I think the overall general public policy is consistent with what we've done in the or specifically done in the past on this subject matter.
I'll vote for it to go to closed session, but that's.
Would you like a roll call?
Sure.
Okay. Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen? Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Tran?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Okay. That motion carries with 6 yes votes.
Director Whitaker, did you have a comment?
Oh, I just merely wanted to explain that my motion was because even at our city council, we've made requests to hear more timely about potential litigation. So this time of the year, it's pretty easy for people to tune out. So I thought the additional time might be valuable to us.
Go ahead. You can announce the vote. Sorry.
With Directors Amezcua, Meeks, Rowe, and Yeo absent.
Okay, so it is added to the agenda.
Thank you.
Moving to the consent calendar.
Second the motion.
Thank you.
Roll call, Director
Bilodeau. I pushed my button. I thought maybe it didn't work to speak.
No,
if I may, Madam President. Thank you. On item 7, I have a question. If you go to the second page, there in the first paragraph of about the fifth line down 6, it says understanding possible habitat impacts and sedimentary rates during above average water years like 2023 will allow more certainty during future water conservation efforts. So that's a very generic statement. I'm wondering what gets some more specificity as to what this information will provide as to detail as to what that means. Would we be doing?
I believe what it means is that we would like to use the LIDAR to get an accurate indication of how much sediment buildup there is currently behind Prado Dam, so that we can then make a determination as to what the amount of water we're actually storing behind the dam. Because as the board knows, we're allowed to store to certain elevations. But as sedimentation takes place, that amount of water that we're able to capture, the volume of that is decreased by a certain amount. So this will provide us the information that we need to know to accurately determine the amount of water that we're capturing behind the dam.
Okay, I just read that it focuses, maybe I read it incorrectly, it focuses more on habitat and vegetation, or focuses also on habitat and vegetation. So would it mean that we would plant more or plant less or neither? Or are we studying something that's going to call upon us to need to go out and plant a lot more?
I don't believe that's the case, Director Sheldon. I don't know whether there's a staff member that cares to comment on that. John, you got up?
Kevin's got it.
Oh, Kevin's got it.
Sure.
Kevin O'Toole.
Thank you, Kevin.
So what we're looking at with the habitat is understanding better how our water connectivities are impacting habitat. As you are likely aware, we think of the three pillars or activities behind Prado Dam. One is water conservation, flooding management, and also impacts on the environment. And so understanding the impacts on the environment, specifically the habitat, is linked to the health of the area. So the better we can do to understand that on a basin-wide scale, the better we can predict and mitigate.
Thank you for that. But my question is more specific. I understand that. What would you do with, what's the practical application of what you would do with the information?
LIDAR specifically?
No, with the habitat. And then you mentioned the species, but the habit, would you see less habitat, want to plant more? Would you say that there's too much, we want to take some out? What's the practical application, you know, of that information? Because
I think I'm going to be one step this effort.
But isn't that the conclusion of what you do, is you implement measures based upon what you find?
At this point, I mean, we could just understand if there are changes up or down. Fish. We're trying to quantify what impact plus or minus for activities. And with this year being such a unique year, all of this water and all this storage, bam, understanding that it's beneficial and understanding and developing relationships.
So what's the likelihood of you coming back to us with information asking us to take a further action? Why not? Well, you know, though, I didn't ask you to predict the future. I asked you the likelihood of you coming back to us with some recommendation, because you're asking for data I feel like you're being evasive. You're asking for data because you want to take an action based upon that data. So which way could the action be? That's all I'm trying to understand.
I don't know that I believe we're seeking to find out what the status of it is. We would certainly come back to the board with an informational item that explains the results that we have from the study, and possibly recommendations as to what to do with that information. I think, as Kevin said,
Thank you.
Yeah, I think as Kevin says, we may find out that we're doing very well as far as the mitigation is concerned, and we may be able to use it to our credit. Moving forward.
But there's going to be likely to be some action one way or another.
I would agree with this.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. General Manager.
Yeah.
I just have another comment. You mentioned the three pillars and I thought it was two. We had two co-equals in the Delta Now we have three pillars in the Prado Dam. I've never heard that. I've not heard that before.
I think that was based on our feasibility study. If you go back to the Prado,
right,
California,
because I wouldn't put I personally would put water for people, and for food over water for plants, in my opinion. So I think that's more important. I wouldn't put them as co-equals, or flood control that saves human lives and saves property. But that's my personal opinion. Okay, thank you.
However, this is a mitigation project, isn't it? To the Lease Bell's Vireo. Isn't that part of the mitigation for Prado?
There is mitigation.
Yeah. So, I mean, we have to have the information. We have to have the data. So, thank you.
Oh, it didn't mention mitigation staff report. Yeah, it was.
Thank you.
It wasn't mentioned in the staff report. Thank you.
Okay.
Check a roll call.
Uh-huh.
Roll call, Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Whitaker.
Aye.
Okay, that motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Amezcua, Meeks, Rowe, and Yeo absent.
Okay, and moving on to the water resources.
I think Ben already gave us a report on the water resources report, so I will not be redundant this evening.
Is that enough?
Information is contained in the packet.
Okay, moving on to SAPA report.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Yesterday morning's SAPA Commission meeting, we adopted three resolutions. One was establishing the fiscal year Inland Empire brine line rates, effective July 1st of 2023. Second was to recognize Mark Norton for his contributions and service to SAPA and his 32-year employment and now retirement. And then you're very aware of the third one, which was we did vote unanimously to support the nomination of Kathy Green as a candidate for the position of AQUA president.
Thank you. All right, moving on to committee conference meeting reports, property.
Thank you, Madam President. The information is found in the packet.
Communications and Ledge.
The meeting minutes are contained in the packet. Thank you.
Okay, water issues.
Normally I would report, but I was only partially in that meeting at the AQUA conference.
Right. Okay, and admin finance. Who's?
Yeah. Information is contained in the packet.
Thank you. Okay, and then we didn't have a quorum at this meeting, but Director Whitaker and I went to the AQUA conference in Monterey. It's a good conference, lots of good information. Okay, moving on.
Oh, if I may just add one thing. I was indeed honored to receive on behalf of this organization the Excellence in Innovation Award. So we won the big prize at this AQUA conference. And where often projects are shorter term, this was for a very multi-year project, which was the final expansion of GWRS. And so it was a very good event. And I was pleased to have Vice President Kathy Green to help present that award. And I received it on behalf of the group here. But that was a fine moment. That. And congratulations to all the staff, everybody who achieved this landmark a moment for OCWD.
Yeah, and Sandy was there too. So congratulations. All right. Yes.
Thank you, Madam President. I should mention that on May the 4th, Star Wars Day, I attended a dinner at the Nixon Library for the American Society of Civil Engineers and received an award on behalf of the district. Along with the Orange County Sanitation District, recognizing the final expansion of GWRS. Thank you.
Okay. I think everybody's done my report.
Madam President, I thought I'd pushed my light. Maybe I may not have done it correctly.
Okay.
I'd like to make a comment, if I may.
You don't want to wait until the director's reports?
All right, I thought we just were on that.
No.
But the director Bill gave a report.
No, go up ahead. And we're still on reports.
Okay, because there wasn't a majority of the quorum there. So I thought we were on something different. I apologize.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to President's report. I think that's been taken care of for me. General Manager.
Just a report that I too attended the AQUA conference and the ASCE event. And we actually received two awards for the same project. And that was the Water and Wastewater Project of the Award, along with the Project of the Year Award. So,
yeah,
that's it.
Did pretty well. Okay, Director's Reports, Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to go back to item number 7, just make a comment that my concern is that I see indicators of the Santa Ana River and Prado becoming the same situation as we find in the Delta, where we have potentially endangered species fish, steelhead trout. We have plant, we have habitat, we have other items where those over time, like a frog in a pot of boiling water, become immune to situation, and those become more important for the water than it is, say, for consumption for people. And as we've seen in the Delta situation that we all have there with the Delta smelt and the state and federal government just releasing millions and millions of gallons of water, I'll just say tens of millions, to the ocean as a part of some billions of water gallons, as a part of some attempt to restore a species that has not been seen. The Delta smelt has not been seen for years. And a lot of other items that don't seem to be successful. And I just see this as small indicators that we don't want our basin and we don't want our watershed to become like the Delta. So thank you.
Okay. General Counsel.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. We have two closed sessions this evening. One for a conference with labor negotiators pursuant to Government Code Section 54957.6, and also the urgency item added for a closed session pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4 to discuss potential litigation in one case. And with that, recommend we recess to closed session.
Okay, we are recessed.
Yes, we've concluded two closed sessions, and there are no reportable items.
We are adjourned at 7:00.
On the dot.